passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Come in. We appreciate you being here. Let's get some more calls in. And Glenn in Macon, Georgia. Good afternoon. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, before we get started, can I apologize to one of your executives?
Sure.
Yeah, it was very frustrating yesterday getting into your... He took my call, and he knows how passionate I am about the show, and he hung up on me, and I can't call back, and he gave me another chance, and I just want to tell him thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no problem. Georgia, Ole Miss, we got a big injury in our defensive. He was our best defensive player, Dumas Johnson, and he's indefinite on coming back to play. What do you think about that? How it's going to affect the game, Paul?
Well, I think every injury matters. I think if LSU had not had so many injuries last week, they would have put up a better fight against Alabama. So Georgia's a school that can afford injuries. They've had them. Ole Miss has had them, but I don't think it's a big factor in the game.
Well, Delp has filled in very nicely for our Heisman Trophy candidate. And I'd like to say this, the legend, and this is just a question, Paul. I want you to comment on it. If you can't beat Georgia with a Heisman Trophy candidate and the best defensive player of that year, how can you beat us with Milroe and Turner? Can I have your input on that?
Well, because every year is different. I mean, Alabama couldn't beat LSU or Tennessee last year with that lineup, and they beat both those teams this year with probably a team that's not as good as the one last year.
Well said, Paul. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Yeah. Ed is up next. Hello, Ed.
Good afternoon, Paul. I got a question concerning the Heisman Trophy. But first, let me ask you this. Is it just me, or is I-Man not a dead ringer for Lon Chaney Jr.? Is that just me?
I think that's exactly what he reminds me of.
No, this is my question. Let's just say Milroe has the next three games and then goes to Atlanta to play Georgia and has another game like LSU. What are his chances of being in New York? And what are his chances if that were to happen? And it's a big if. What do you think his chances are of winning the Heisman? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, it could happen for this reason. I think most legitimate Heisman voters are not going to put a lot of stock in what they've seen already. They're going to concentrate on what they're seeing now. I could very easily vote for Milroe as a Heisman voter. I'm not going to. In fact, what he's overcome to me helps his story immensely. Now, he's got a very difficult path, but and the biggest game, really the only game he has left that would be what I would call a major marquee game will be the Georgia game. The Kentucky game it's good. The Auburn game, the expectations are a little bit lower because Auburn won't be ranked. But if he shines against Georgia and leads them to a win, then I think you'll see an avalanche of support for him. I mean, the fact that we're asking that question is stupefying when you consider where we were a couple of weeks ago. Thank you very much for the call. Harry is in Georgia. Hello, Harry.
Hey, Paul. Glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
Enjoy Stitchcomb. I think he's the best analyst in college football on TV today.
He's great.
Appreciate you having him there. Huge Georgia fan. I'm a Nick Saban fan, Kirby Smart fan. I think they're the two best coaches in college football right now. And I think that both of these guys have made some of the most courageous changes and calls in college football that I've seen in my 76 years. And I'd like to start with Coach Saban. I know 3 years ago, when he was playing the Southeastern Conference game, a good friend of mine, huge Alabama fan, had a suite at Mercedes-Benz, invited me to come down, but it was pouring down rain. I was not feeling well, so I didn't go. And so he's texting me all the way through the first half, and he calls me and he says, you know, Georgia's going to win this game. There's no way Alabama can come back. And I told him, I said, well, the only thing that can pull Alabama out of this, I said, if Nick Saban has enough courage to switch quarterbacks and bring in that little left-handed freshman he's got. And that's right. He said, I don't know who you're talking about. I said, well, I can't pronounce his last name, but his first name is Tua. And I said, he is the best little college quarterback that I've ever seen. I said, I saw him in a high school all-star game. And so, well, he did it. I mean, that was a courageous call he made, and that won him a national championship. And the other one was this year when he benched his quarterback and let these other two guys play. It did two things. Number one, it quietened a bunch of Alabama fans that were calling for his retirement, and it also told his offensive coordinator, sit down over here, son, and watch me. I'm going to teach you how to coach football. And those two were great calls that he made. The other is Kirby Smart. And Kirby Smart's 2 years ago when he turned his team over to a walk-on quarterback and won a national championship. That was courageous. His second courageous thing that Kirby Smart did was when he turned that team over to let Stetson Bennett take that team this last year. And he won a national championship with a former walk-on. I think these two guys are the best coaches I've seen on the sideline since that old man smoking cigarettes with a houndstooth hat was walking on the sideline. And I think he's the greatest of all time. I think these guys will probably have won and will win more national championships than he did. But he was the best. And
the old man was smoking Chesterfields.
Was it Chesterfield?
Yes, sir.
I couldn't remember. But I tell you what, every high school player my age wanted to play for the coach. And he was something else. And I really enjoyed it.
I agree with you, Harry. I mean, and again, a lot of it was the variation of age that you were and I was back then. But, I mean, he was Paul Bryant was bigger than life. Yep. And everything is so different today. And I'm not saying anything diminishing the importance of Nick Saban. We all know how where he stands. But Bryant was just a it's hard to describe being in his presence. It was so intimidating.
I can't imagine. Yeah. I know you were. You got to interview him several times.
No, and I will. I every time, and I wasn't that smart at 24 years old, but I knew I was in the presence of greatness, and I memorized every moment of every interaction, I've quite frankly lived off of it for 40 years.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, sometime when you got a little more time, I'd like to call back and chat with you about rat poison.
But I'd love to. Thank you very much. Really, really, really great call. Cowboy is up next. Cowboy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Thank you. We're doing great.
It's been a while since I talked to you. You remember me, I think, don't you?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
Yeah, But I haven't had my knee surgery, so trying to go through it now.
I'm glad to hear
that. But I have a couple things to say, Paul, especially the I Man. You know, he said he's calling the Alabama stoop, you know, and the hit, you know, the hit that he made, that was just a good hit, man. Old fashioned football. That's all it was. And shit's come, got to be crazy, man. But I Man, I got something to tell you, man. If there's a stoop at the university, think about it, man. You've got a university that don't even know which mascot they want. Roll down tide, bro.
I-Man is next.
You know, so Paul, good afternoon. There's sometimes you just have to sit back and just let some of that BS sink in. And what was that caller's name?
Cowboy.
I want to be cowboy.
Who cares
what cowboy
has to say? He probably needs two knee surgeries. His dirty head all day long. Stitch coming. I tell you, I'd like to know what Cole Kubrick got to say about it. His dirty head. And I know the boys in NIL money went through the roof. I mean, that's whale money now. I mean, that's whale damn money. Boy's probably driving a new car. Probably a Mercedes. Imagine that, a Mercedes. Real Mercedes. Real German. From a Saban dealership. Dirty play all day long. And then, you know what was even more dirty about it? The refs, I mean, nobody during that time of that play said, we're going to stop, take a look at this. They stop the game. It goes dead in the stadium constantly. But on that particular, nothing to say here. Nothing to say here. Move along, move along, move along. Nothing to say here. Dirty play by dirty team. And you know, the one caller is going through all of his reminiscing. He was talking about the Alabama players. And I'm thinking, you know, it was just a little while ago that the fans was calling for Nick Saban to get out of here because he's too damn old. Pay him off. Do something. Get rid of his ass. He's dumb. Look at the people he's hiring. I mean, and then the players got involved. Y'all don't know what being a Bammer is about. You know what? All of them got egg on the damn face. All of them. I'm talking about, that's a lot of eggs, Paul. That's more eggs than Walmart sells in a week. I'm talking about all over the Southeast. That's a lot of egg faces. Don't know what he's doing. Don't know what he's doing. And I don't have 5 points. I don't have I'm not giving out any kind of hats. I'm just a caller. I'm just a caller. And I take the
just a caller in a rock and roll band.
That's it. I take the Lon Chaney thing as a compliment. I mean, because when you're born a natural smartass like I am, and I come from a long list of, I'm doing my ancestors proud. And I'm doing them even more proud because I'm talking to you. And you know, Paul, it's about time that you stepped up to the plate and went and got that Zippo lighter and engraved my name on it and said, thank you, amen. It's about that time. I mean, it really is.
Well, I intend to do that because I think I got a...
You intend?
I was at the dollar store earlier and I saw some Zippos.
Well, hey, I'll take that. If you take time, you don't even have to take it down to the engraver. Just take a damn nail out of something. Out of a piece of wood, you know, and just scratch my name on, because it would be as complimentary and as sincere a gift as anything I've gotten from you so far. And I tell you what, when you've got the host of the show and you've got some of your premier callers calling in and saying, don't step on a good call. Ladies and gentlemen, I wrote that line. Do you understand? I wrote that line. Sitting here on hold, I wrote that line. Don't step on a good call. And how about Jerome? We don't hear anything from Jerome, but I tell you what, when Jerome come back to the Old West, he busted both doors off the saloon and said, I'm back. And, you know, the times I've been around Jerome's been a man of very few words, because Larry and Phyllis talked all over
him. Right, I do remember that.
Tuscaloosa that day. And he couldn't get a word in edgewise because Phyllis too busy talking about, I'm sitting on my daddy's knee, and Larry's too busy trying to find some suspect to put a sleeper hold on. Jerome's, I've always liked Jerome. Jerome's a good guy. And I tell you, as far as the phone feud between Jerome and Jim there, I'd have to tip my hat towards Jerome, because Jerome sure came in, and I don't think Jim was expecting that. And that's very unusual, because Jim's usually at the top of his game, but I think Jerome caught him with a dirty hit. I mean, it was dirty. It was nasty. That was really... Time out. We got to take a look at that. Ward and Meagle, have a good day.
We will mercifully be right back after that call.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let's go to Legend. Legend is next.
What's going on, my black hat brother? What's up, baby?
Legend, doing great. Thank you.
Man, I appreciate it, Paul. Man, tomorrow I finally get a day off, Paul. I tell you, man, between school and work and TV, I rarely get a day off, man. Man, I'm looking forward to it.
Hard
I'm
to just be a TV star, Legend.
Do what, brother?
I said it's hard to be a television star.
Man, I'm going to tell you, Paul, it made me think of you, though, man. When you get a day off, what do you do around the house?
I try to get away from football. It doesn't always work, but yeah, you'll be walking around this. You'll be walking around the neighborhood with your dog, and some guy's, "Hey, what'd you think of Michigan?" I'm like, going, "Like, why don't you walk your own dog, buddy, and leave me alone?"
Yeah, leave me the hell alone.
I wish you would be with. If you had been walking with me, Legend, I'd just send you over and say, "Take this guy out."
Yeah, you need me as your security, Paul. I mean, I love you, dude. You get too old and you can't walk no more. I'm the kind of guy that'll push you around in your wheelchair, Paul. I'll let you walk your dog, man. I got that kind of love for you, man. I do. But, man, I'm just so thankful. I thought I'd swing by the Feinbaum house for a minute, man, and just tell you how much I appreciate you, man. Every time I turn around, I'm being blessed because my association with you, you know. I heard that moron OSDM talk about yesterday that I was insecure. Man, I'm out here living my best life. One thing about the legend, I'm not insecure about anything. I might be ugly, fat, all that stuff. I don't care. I'm too old to care. I'm just thankful to be here every day, man. It's a blessing
legend,
to God.
I still think
I
you had one of the great lines in Feinbaum show history about what this program has meant to your dating habits.
Yep, I used to date fours, and after I started calling the Feinbaums, I started dating tens, man. That's the Feinbaum right there, man. That's the Feinbaum that I love. You know, I think about Iron Man, you know. I think I'm going to send him over a couple of my Nick Saban flatheads.
He's consistent about Nick Saban, isn't he?
Man, that dude is pathetic. Man, he is eat up with Alabama. If Alabama recruited him, he would have done came off the sideline four times and tackled folks during the game. Man, that dude is eat up with Alabama, man. Such a pathetic individual. Even turning on his old boy, Jim, turning on his partner, his White Trash Incorporated partner. Turning on him, talking about Jerome whooped him. Let me tell you something about the Black Hat Club. Even if you whoop the Black Hat Club, we ain't gonna admit to it.
No. It's like in politics now. It doesn't matter what your lying eyes saw. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen, brother. It didn't happen. That way, me in New York used to be. We see something about they ever catch us for doing something wrong. We gonna say, "Now that was somebody that looked like me. That ain't me." I'll tell you right now, I don't know even look like me. But I ain't doing nothing wrong, man. I'm just blessed and thankful, man. Man, I hear everybody talking about Dallas Turner still, Paul. You know, Dallas Turner reminds me of Wilbur Marshall. You remember Wilbur Marshall?
Oh, I sure do. From Florida, yeah. The Bears.
Yeah, Wilbur Marshall was a beast. He was the guy that played with bad intentions, man. Dallas Turner plays with bad intentions. I heard somebody say on the show today that Brock Bowers would be a top five pick. No way. Kyle Pitts went ninth, and he was just highly as recruited as Bowers. There'll be two Alabama players go ahead of him. Kool-Aid at corner, Dallas Turner at defensive end. Paul, I think Dallas Turner going to be a better pro than Will Anderson Jr. Dallas Turner got dog in him. He got Shane Marion, Lawrence Taylor in him. He got that cat in him, brother. That dude is a dog. I love it. And speaking of the dogs, we're coming for that ass. We're coming for that ass. I'm counting the days, Georgia. Your time on the throne with the crown on your head is ticking down. You're going to have to deal with me this year. Get ready. And I got news for Beck. Better go talk to the duck. Better go talk to the Aflac duck. May I Paul bless love you do. You the king, man. I just dropped by the house to tell you I loved you. And tell Jim and I, man, White Trash Incorporated, y'all are some pathetic individuals. See a psychiatrist. Love you, dude. I'm out.
That's who needs to see the psychiatrist. He needs to be in Bryce. He's a maniac. He's a fool. He's an idiot. And he's wrong about me. You know what? Augie did something great the other day. He posted a picture of that fool legion, the full of devil's legion, the obnoxious, belligerent, moron scumbag. And he posted it. And he, Paul, that guy, I didn't realize how old he looks and is. He's got solid white, screwy-looking beard. He looks like somebody you'd see on the street corner begging for money to go back in the liquor store and get him another bottle so he can get drunker than he already is. That's Legion. That's that fool, belligerent, obnoxious Legion. Let me cut to something else as a chase, Paul. You know, this moron, this rumor has it he's a transgender. Talking about Trey, little weasel Trey, saying I got beat down by that idiotic, no good, sorry caller, obnoxious as Legion, obnoxious as all of them, Jerome. Paul, nobody wants to hear that guy. And let me tell you something, Jerome. I hung up on you because I don't want to hear me. I don't want to hear you. Don't want to hear you or none of your obnoxious, belligerent garbage. That's all you bring. You can't even understand what you're saying because you're so stupid and you don't know how to talk. You ain't got no articulation to your voice. You don't know nothing about how to be on the radio. You never have. But Paul likes you and some of these other idiots like you because you scream and holler like some raving fool. And that's what you sound like, a raving fool. And Trey, take off your dress and go.
Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, you're looking good and sounding good. And,
Thank you.
What I'm crazy about is I'm talking about all the yelling and screaming that's going on, and I'm not talking about your show. I'm talking about on the sports shows. You was on a thing the other day with a guy named, what, Mad Dog? And
oh, yeah,
he's just screaming and yelling and pointing.
Be on again tomorrow.
Well, what I'm saying is they're screaming and yelling and pointing the fans at everybody. He's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of them on television not doing that. What's going on? I don't like being yelled and screamed at. I got married. I had enough of that.
No, Cat Daddy, that's the new way in sports TV. It's who can scream the loudest.
It seems to be the truth. I guess I'm old school, but, you know, doggone, just talk whatever happened to Kurt Gowdy and Howard Cosell and all them great commentators. I miss you, John Madden. Come back soon. God bless you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you, Cat Daddy. We will take a short break and be back for more of this award-winning show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome all of you back. Man, I've lost track on this program today. It's gotten so off the rails. Handsome Joe is up next.
Roll tie, roll, Paul Feinbaum. You know what? When somebody like Jim calls in and he's screaming and yelling, talking about somebody screaming and yelling, Paul, he don't even listen to himself. And he's so jealous of Legend. I mean, it's pathetic. He's so jealous of Legend. Hey, Legend, you know, he's trying. He's working hard. He's doing everything he can. And that can make me be infuriating some people that just don't have no life at all. So, you know, that's the problem there, Paul. But I was listening to our man's call. And Paul, he kept changing his voice as much. I mean, I kept thinking he kept getting a zipper stuck or something. I was trying to get a zipper up. Just, y'all are I mean, he was just, you know, falling up and down the wall, Paul. But, hey, today's a big day for me, Paul. I got my last doctor visit done for at least the next 2 weeks, and today's my birthday. I turned a big 60 today.
Oh, my goodness, you are 60. Welcome to the club.
I know it, Paul. I hung on this last week saying I'm still in my 50s, but now I hit the big 60.
Yeah,
so,
I'm here to tell you, Joe, nothing changes. And if you believe that...
Hey, I can tell from 50 to 60 already. It's like crazy.
I mean, once you get to 60, you've already accepted the reality.
Yeah. It's going downhill, and
you can't jump off of curves anymore, and you shouldn't try to play basketball with a bunch of kids.
No. Well, I'm running around days and done. Of course, you know, with my injury, I can't get out and run much anyway now. So, but anyway, yeah, it's getting. But hey, I like it today, Paul. I have got a lot of good calls and messages from people. Some I hadn't called back. I got some phone calls this morning. I couldn't get to them because I was at the doctor all day today.
Well, I want to say this, Joe, on behalf of everyone here, happy birthday. 60 is a great age. You keep plugging away, and you are truly one of the great callers in the history of this show.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. And hey, y'all have a good one. Hey, love every one of you guys there. Love what you do for everybody out here. I mean, just you brought a lot of us through some bad times and good times too. So just keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate you so much, Paul. I'll try to get back in tomorrow. Like I said, my doctor's business is done with now, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
Happy birthday. Great to hear from you. Yeah, man.
You know, happy birthday, Joe. Happy 60. Oh, handsome Joe. Prettiest man on this program. Happy birthday. You know, Paul, I'm the longest continuous caller on this show.
You are.
Would that be a fair statement? I've been calling consistently 20-plus years. I was with some of the first-generation people, and with some of the new people today. But I tell you, and over the last couple of years, I've calmed down. I haven't pointed fingers, and I haven't gone as hard as I could because I was just sitting back enjoying the show. And Jim and I had some agreements on some things. But I tell you this, after my comments about, you know, I just called you. Jim's calling me, and he's hollering and screaming at me because I got it all wrong. Like, I don't have an opinion. Now, Jim, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this loud. I'm going to say this loud and clear.
We're going to break up.
I'm going to say this loud and clear. I respect you as a caller because you are one of the few people that still call this show when I started calling, occasionally Elmo and a couple other people. But I tell you what, you're not going to holler and scream at me, and I ain't your bitch, and I ain't your second-class citizen. And you better get over that. You better get over that. You better learn to respect people, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself alone, dude. And I tell you what, you will never holler and scream at me in my face. And if I tell you Jerome kicked your ass in that call, he kicked your ass. Now, you take it. You take it, because Jerome stepped up to the plate, and I gave you kudos for coming back with a call that did not include Jerome. But I tell you what, fella. You will never holler and scream. I'll slap you to your damn 78-year-old knees right as we speak. It won't be your arm. It'll be your ass. Have a good day.
Wow. Whee! That may be the best call I-Man's ever had. I knew that day was coming. Don't want to be a tall. I told you so, Randy. But that was just a fake bromance. And, I respect I-Man because he took a lot of. AJ is up next.
Rawr! That Auburn Tiger calls finally came out of I-Man and sliced Jim up like he needs to be. Slice him up for the buzzards to eat on him. Speaking of a breakup, Paul, I got some inside source that is very reliable, and I'm not trying to big dog it out, but I did hear today, I just actually heard it about 30 minutes ago, where I heard that Robbie Ashford has stepped away from the team for a few days. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard that.
Well, maybe dig it up. I know you'll be buzzing around like a bee trying to find out, but for real, nothing. That's not made up, you know, satire. I'd be interested to hear that, but
we will you know, check it out, AJ.
Yeah, check it out for me there, investigator. But you know, Jim, one word that comes to me about Jim Paul is the word quit. He quit today. He admits he quit 3/4 of the way through college. He quit on his potential Major League Baseball career. He quit on his NFL career. He quit on his mama. He quit on his daddy. He quit on his greasy-ass granny. He even quit on his wife. He's quit the show 150 million times. So won't you do everybody a favor, Mr. Sleazeball, Slim Jim, pimp slapped to death today. You've done been pimp slapped. You've called 9 times in 2 days, and you've been pimp slapped 25,000 times. So, I mean, just give it up, Jim. You're roadkill. You're washed up, and I'm out. War damn eagle.
I'm trying not. My mother always taught me, don't be a braggart. I knew that bromance was going to happen, was going to come on, and I also knew who the first caller would be to give expert commentary on. You know who it was? Who's that? Squirrel is next.
I don't think Jim had a wife. I think AJ, I don't think he quit on his wife. I could be mistaken on that. I think he's been a bachelor.
I don't think you are mistaken, by the way.
All 78 years of his life. Did you not see this?
Oh, my goodness. This was, I mean, I defer to you because you really were the one who predicted it first. I just rode your coattails.
It was just a matter of time. I mean, this dude is psychotic. If you think he's crazy on the radio, you ought to get him on a telephone. It's crazy times 10. And so there was no surprise there that it was just a matter of time. You know, like I said, he's a free thinker, and Jim likes to dictate your calls. I can't count the number of times right after my call, the phone ring, and it'd be that cockroach criticizing me for what I didn't say. And so I can relate to I-Man. It was just a matter of time. Aloha.
I mean, it snuck up on me, Squirrel. I mean, it came out of nowhere. Hey, thanks for the call. We head to the break. We are back. A few more minutes straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.